everybody. This is Dan and Denny from the Final Cut. I want to say Final Cut Pro. From Final Cut's podcast. And it's our next episode. And we're going to talk about what, Denny?
Well, you know, I'm glad you said what. Because if you would have said, hey, I'm serious, then suddenly you're... Apple Watch or your computer would be going, oh, and I'm looking for Sirius. And you'd hear somehow out of nowhere comes AI and listening like Siri or Google, you know, like, hey, Google and hey, Stuart. But there's been this quirky thing going on where you might be sitting there and all of a sudden, like we were yesterday, we were sitting there and we were just talking about some work and suddenly my watch chimes in.
That was so weird. You know what? You said podcast, and it just started playing a podcast.
And oh.
It's not
somebody else's podcast.
Right. It's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be like a, I don't want to say it now, hey, Siri, because she'll hear me. But you have to say that. Oh, look at, she heard me right there. I couldn't even say quiet. She heard me. So
I'm hiding my watch and phone right now.
I know. It's annoying. So anyway. That's a concern, and we're seeing it online as well, where there's a lot of people that are saying their phones are just doing things without their command, and
yeah,
it's not right. And I
well, you know, there's some quirky things going on with the programming and the algorithms in that system, and there was even an article in was it Forbes? I think I sent you about that.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know, talked about the quirkiness in it. It's just one of those things that has to happen or happens to happen. But, you know, does it go deeper than that? You know, I don't want to be like a conspiracy. I don't want to be like a conspiracy theorist. But,
yeah.
You know, is there more listening than we know about? I don't know. It's funny. It's not the first time that it's happened. It's happened, let's say, not... you know, daily, but I'd say at least a couple times a month, I get these weird things. You know, you might be watching television and even something is set on TV.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're getting ads from something that was mentioned on television.
I have to hide the microphone again. So every time on TV, when they say Siri, the word Siri, my phone goes off every time. So it's really weird, and it shouldn't be doing that because there's supposed to be voice recognition to only pick up your voice. Whenever I say Siri in the car, and my wife's, look at her, she got on again. Isn't that crazy? And when I say it in my car, with my wife in the car, her phone answers. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
So, and reading a little bit about that was the... data collection. Siri and Google are into the world of data collection. So we're part of that data, but also in voice recognition and visual recognition, you know, it keeps building, the AI keeps building a bank of data on your voice and recognizing certain tones and certain elements, you know, and then when certain things might be mentioned, like, you know, I'm talking about maybe golf, the next thing I know, I'm getting a little buzz on golf here. Like, why is that happening? Matter of fact, as I'm speaking right now, I just looked at my phone and Siri is listening.
No.
Hey, Siri, what's the weather outside?
The only time she wants to answer, she won't answer.
One sec.
She was busy listening. Now she's one sec.
Really busy recording.
Still on it.
Still on it.
You know what? Pointer,
bro, Siri.
Point the phone out the window. Maybe she'll see it.
Let's try again.
Something went wrong. Yes.
Wow.
So,
wow. Yeah. And it's really weird. And well, let me try one really quick. Hey, Siri, are you recording me all the time?
I respect your privacy and only listen when you're talking to me. You can learn about Apple's approach to privacy at apple.com.
Well, that's a nice generic term that they...
Well, you can't turn off auto on, too. You can turn her off.
Right.
Sorry, But
yeah, that was weird. Yesterday, your podcast, we couldn't shut it off. It was weird. It's like it went on out of the blue, and then you couldn't shut it off, and we couldn't find out where it was or anything. So it was
that's correct. I mean, we went to YouTube, it wasn't there.
Yeah,
went online, it wasn't there, and it was very strange. But so you know, all in all, what does this mean? You know, in terms of data collection and what people know about us, not only people, just
right.
The world of data that's you know, it's the root of Apple, it's the root of Google, and the other apps that are out there, the other platforms that are gathering this information about what you do and where you look and what you do on a daily basis. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating and dangerous and scary all at the same time. Because you really don't know what is being, you know, recorded and what's not being recorded, and what you know, would they say with TikTok they're trying to ban it and all those things. And so far, I found it to just be slightly entertaining. But you know,
look at it now. From you know, it reminds me of the good old Wizard of Oz, and there's the witch looking into the world on the you know, the crystal ball.
Right.
Those little flying monkeys are behind her and they're all giggling and laughing. But we don't have that happening, but we do have this crystal ball that is you. And we're all these little mini crystal balls running around everywhere. And now it's the data that's coming out of you where you're searching, looking for information. All of that's being gathered about your lifestyle and your preferences and where you go on the web. And so, you know, if you look at it from a marketer's standpoint and go, okay, friend of the devil is a friend of mine.
A song.
Point of phrase. Oh, here comes the song.
Yeah, right.
It's where you can use this information through the media side. And let's bring it around to video. You know, we did a campaign, and I don't want to get into all the particulars on it, but, you know, there's geo-farming and geo-fencing. And, you know, we selected certain with videos. We had 15-second videos that was a bank of different messages, but all coming back to this brand. And, you know, we wanted to look for lifestyles in a certain area by zip. Well, not only that, you know, it was kayaking, it was mountain biking, and we wanted to target certain people in a certain demographic in a certain area who did searches with those terms, and then of course feed the ads based on those searches. And it's amazing. I mean, it is amazing how much we were able to reach people with that program. And not only that, was it a just a, let's call it in the presence, but from geo farming, as I kind of view that, we went back in time, you know, where people may have gone to an outdoor show. And in that location where they were in that outdoor show for, you know, whatever the activity is, we can go back and grab that data too on their search and then feed it again when they're up and running. And so it's a fascinating thing. But then you have all of this measurement that you can utilize for marketing.
Right, right.
It's
so
incredible.
Yeah, out there, if you've had this situation, feel free to add it in the comments and also subscribe to find out more on this. You know, from my standpoint, I've had good parts and bad parts of that. I get a lot of random texts and things like that, which didn't have anything to do with what I was talking about, you know, or was looking for. You know what? I keep deleting them, and I just keep getting the same thing. I get the one all the time, you know, did you qualify for the $26,000 credit from the government? I probably get two of those a day on my phone. So you got to be really good point to bring up is you got to be very careful with you keep your phone number out anywhere. Because in the fine print, it says, we can spam you. We can do this. There's nothing you can do about it. And if you ever try to go back and get to them, you know, you've approved it. You approved the terms of the agreement. So,
well, you know, the other thing too is you do get those questions when they pop up if you're going onto a certain site or you're using an app. And how many apps do we, you know, get involved in now?
Yeah.
Where we allow this app to track your location and movements. And that's where you might have gone past something and didn't click it. And the next thing you know, your little non-click turns into a lot of spam before you know it. I just downloaded an app for Universal Studios because I'm just looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I made sure I was clicking on don't allow this app to track me everywhere and go now. And
yeah, that's right. If you go there, it would be constantly bothering you, I'm assuming.
Well, that might be a good thing. You know, it might be a good thing when you're there. But if you're not there, you know, I don't want to be bombarded over the next 6 months with everything that's going on at Universal Studios.
Well, you might get coupons, which would save you money there.
That's right.
A good
that's
thing, right?
Yeah, but no, you know, on the other hand, in a trade show world, downloaded an app for a trade show. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be notified while I'm there using the app. And you can do that with any app, but I wanted to be notified so that, you know, hey, in 15 minutes, this conference is coming up in all 108B or something like that. Or, yeah. Hey, this thing is happening over in booth, 2002. So it's very helpful. And you can build your schedules and you do all these things with an app for a trade show and that it's tracking you, but it's also helping the trade show organizers get a handle on, or the meeting organizers get a handle on, you know, who's doing what and where. And it comes in handy. Plus, you can have interactive contact with other attendees. So there is some useful tools from that standpoint.
Right.
Take that across the board. There's a lot of things that can be done with these apps. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Healthcare, another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah. You know what? I don't know where it's going to go. You know, with AI coming into play now, I think that's another thing that's going to be a big factor in, the big brother, so they say, listening in all the time. It may start doing things like, just assuming what you want and then start sending you information through that mode that it feels you would be trying all the time.
Well, yeah. Well, recently this leak of the government's, top security, top secret documents. Yeah. It's incredible how that actually got out. You have a person who's in the military who is, somehow he has access to these things and he's in his own chat room. I mean, I have a chat group with fraternity brothers, and we communicate a lot of times. There's 16 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, if something were to come into my or any one of their realm with information that might be something that's sensitive, they send it to us. Suddenly we're subject to that. Or is it something in other countries where it's anti-government and you have this chat room and is it being tracked? It may be. Is there plants? Are there outside, let's call it bad actors, as they say, like China and Iran and Russia, that, they're after our databases to really, hack in and put in disinformation as well.
I got to say one thing
of that.
With TikTok, 90% of it's harmless, but there's another 5 to 10% that's really weird. Every so often I'll pop it up and it shows U.S. government being attacked by blah, 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 it makes up things. And, I would just click through it because I know it's not right. But just think of all the thousands of people that might believe it. I see where the government may want to ban that just for that simple reason. It's too easy to put propaganda in there. And really with any of the social media, although it's starting to seem to be getting regulated a little more. But yeah, TikTok's like just this wild, wild west right now. And, it's very weird.
Well, the Big Brother side of it, certainly, there are certain influencers and podcasters out there that have huge, huge thousands, maybe millions of followers. And, without mentioning names, some of them may kind of go off to the conspiracy end from time to time, or some might be that's what they're all about. Do you think the government might be, maybe kind of just tapping into that a little bit? And their listeners to see who's who, to see who might be, militia-like, knows? I mean, and it's not bad.
I'm not necessarily against that. I mean, I'm cool with it because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if it's protecting our country, if it's protecting what we're doing, so be it, you know? I mean, your life's an open book anyway, for the most part. I mean, that's just my opinion. Yeah. But, you know,
people, there's so many doors open, literally, that you have to have means to see where there might be a nucleus of something that could really go bad, you know, from a terrorism standpoint, from those who may be coming across the border, crime, trading, drug trade, all of that.
Well, the other thing that really flips me out is, like, all these mass shooters, you know, they all a lot of them post on Facebook or prior to their, what they're going to do. You mean in this infinite knowledge and wisdom of AI we have right now, we can't flag that and find out before it happens and catch these kids when they do this stuff? Because it's mostly kids, you know, for the most, right? I mean, you know, why is it so difficult to do that? You know, I'm sure they're working on it, but, you know, that would solve a lot of the problems, you know, right off the bat, in my opinion.
It's a situation today that the media is now run by individuals. What I mean by that is everybody has access to public media through their phones and through their computers.
Yeah.
And social media platforms give them an opportunity to have an audience and a following.
Right.
The more they position themselves as experts, or the more they do crazy things on Twitter, or not Twitter, but in TikTok, then you get followers. And then, you know, it grows from there. There's an interesting podcast I called Down the Rabbit Hole. I remember sending it out a while ago. It was a couple years ago. But it's how the internet and our ability now to be able to broadcast not only audio but video has changed the world dramatically. And you can follow anyone anywhere doing anything anytime, and then build followings on top of that, depending on what you have to say or know or do.
Plus,
you know, every once in a while I look at different how-tos on music, and you see, you know, a how-to, and you look down the list on YouTube, and you go, 341,000 views. They must know something.
What's viral? I think the whole thing is it goes viral, and it's like crazy on some of this stuff, you know?
I've
seen that a lot with some of the different posts. You look at them and go, how could this possibly get so many, you know? Now, granted, I have a funny feeling they use robots for some of this stuff, but still, you know, when it goes viral, it's being shared a lot.
Yeah.
Shared everywhere.
Well, that's the thing. The robots are there to filter out some of the possible negative things or hate things that could lead to something. So, you know, people chatting and doing things that go into another realm of what is sort of just a kind of against the grain a little bit. You know, are the robots just flagging it and then it goes to another level? I don't know. You know, I'm just not in that world, but I do know that if I were to say the word, it would pop up. So AI is not going to go away. And all the other elements that are coming around now with, you know, ChatGPT and DALL-E being able to just create things from nothing, other than you still have to send the spark in of what the content is, and then it goes from there. But yeah, it's a fascinating world.
I think it just creates a whole new level of competition in the marketing world. And he who learns it faster than the next guy is going to be ahead in that game. So that's a good lesson for any new marketers out there. Get on the bandwagon. You know,
you mentioned that in terms of competition, and then let's look at it from a business standpoint. Should a company, no matter the size, have its own influencer? And I'm not thinking about it, but building its own influencer. It might be a remodeler in you know, a certain area, and you basically, even if it's not you, the owner, you have someone that's their duty is to get online continually with information about remodeling and becoming like the expert, almost like this old house guy, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the way I look at it is if the company can afford to do that, go for it. You know, I mean,
as long as maybe somebody in the company becomes that. Yeah. Well, someone in the company does it.
as long as you're not lying to the public either, because, you know, if you start saying stuff that you can't do, or the guy says it, or the woman, you know, you'll get found out pretty quick, and that could be the worst. That could be worse than anything else that could happen, you know, because everybody knows 250 people. I didn't know if you heard yesterday on the news, they had a guy that was just screaming at an airplane about this baby that was next.
Yeah, I was...
But think about
that, is
that guy forever, you know, will be known, you know, everybody around him knows who he is, you know, for screaming at that, you know, it's a baby screaming. And the guy at the newscaster's like, have you ever heard of earplugs? You know, it's a flight. The baby's screaming because his ears are hurting, right?
You know, they do have your headphones on the airlines.
Anything. So.
Well, you know, I was going to mention about the influencers within a company. Landscapers, of all things. Would you think that landscapers would become influencers? It's amazing how some of them, if you go online and look at YouTube, you will see some of these landscape guys with 50, 60, 70,000 followers across the country, and they're giving out lawn and garden tips, or, you know, equipment tips. They have followers everywhere. Last year, I was in Louisville at the outdoor show there, and they had a special section on influencers, and they had these influencers that are the leading ones in that industry do a seminar. Now, there were 20,000 attendees at this show, but at that seminar, there were 3,000 attendees. Out of that 20,000, it went to this, you know, big hall, and these guys were up on stage. Just, you know, they're kind of like stars of the industry because of their presence online and how they position themselves.
Well,
they, you know, they just don't do it instantly. You start, and then it builds from there.
Right. Plus, there's so much. There's big bucks in landscaping. You know, you think about it, people putting $50,000 into their yard. It's like, not uncommon in certain neighborhoods, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, these guys are there to talk about things from labor to, you know, how they run their business and how they grow. Yeah. And people want to know. They really did want to learn. So they start that online, and then now it grows into becoming guest speakers at conferences. It's amazing. Not only there in that landscape world, but across the board with a lot of different industries.
Yeah, right, right. That's cool.
Yeah. I guess the question is, do you have an influencer mindset? And even if you're not online, can you kind of think about being an influencer? Sure. You know, it's a matter of putting yourself out there.
And the other
thing, doing a podcast.
Exactly. Not only doing one, but going on podcasts. That's really a big factor. I mean, you become an influencer by going on other people's podcasts that are bigger than yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. Well, good. Well, Denny, is there any last minute comments here? Last things you want to talk about that, you know, moral of the story / while you're out there, beware of this or comments.
Well, you know, I think, you know, some of us probably all been subject to having that. All of us have at some point been subject to having that little creepy thing happen where this voice pops up. You do have the option of going to your phone and turning it off if you want. But, you know, if you want to just think about what you're saying and when you're doing it, just know that Siri, you may be listening, but you can't drink coffee. I can. There you go.
Very good. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us on this next podcast. Feel free to leave comments and subscribe below. And we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Next week.
And I got a message.
You got a message. Oh, my.
See ya.
All right. So I got to figure out how to shut this off. And, well, I think that's it. I'll end it in a second. All right, Denny, I'll be in a little bit. Are you going to be around for a little bit?
Well, a little bit. I'm going to leave here. What time is it? Oh, it's only 10:30. Probably a little bit afternoon. Got a big, you know, day lined up here. I have to get some things done.
Right. You're going all that again?
Yeah, I'm going to pack things up today. You know, I've already packed up most of the truck for tonight's event. And,
That's right.
Off. Yeah, playing like a birthday party, as I was saying. It's not very big, but is Eddie coming in here today, by the way?
Yeah, he should be here.
Is Eddie coming in?
He's going to be full throttle on Midwest for the next.
Oh, yeah. No, I just have to say, hey, Eddie, you know, he's going to come tonight and do the sound.
Very good.
And that's basically it. But I don't need anything else other than that. And Alex, you know, I had a little chat with him yesterday, and we just kind of looked at what he was doing. It looked pretty good. And, you know, he's doing different things now with the animation, and he was trying to look at how to do snoring. And I think we were talking about sound waves. You know how, like, you might have a flat line?
And he did that. It looks really good.
He did that? Yeah, and then it does that. That kind of gives you the idea. Yeah.
So we're going to run it by the customer. I'm going to get back to us soon. So,
all right. And that other thing, can you contact CoreTech about getting that stock footage? Because I have the script. I'll just give it to you when you get in.
Yeah, just give me.
It just doesn't have that window with that futuristic thing on it.
Okay, sounds good.
See you.
All right, I'll catch up with you, Dad.
See ya.
In a little bit.
All right, see you, man. Bye.
Let's face it, everybody loves to make podcasts and vodcasts, but nobody wants to edit them. Well, except for us. At Premier Podcast Productions, we professionally edit and distribute podcasts and vodcasts for companies around the world. Our process is simple and affordable, allowing you to stay focused on what you do best, developing great content and building your subscriber base. From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at PremierPodcastPros.com to take your podcast to the next level.